All right, all right. You got to fist bump three people and say welcome home. Come on, you got to do this. You know how we roll. We're active. We're alive and active in the church of the Lord this morning. Anybody excited to be here? Come on. Wow. What in the world? Guys, we just had the best breakfast ever. When you come to the Vine, you're going to see we have an amazing breakfast. And I think everybody's full this morning is what it is. And so everybody's real sleepy because it was a good. So we're going to try this again. One more time. Who's excited to be in the house of the Lord today? Yay! There we go. There we go. That's better. That's better. I'm feeding off your energy. So I need us to be hyped this morning. I'm so thankful we get to be here today. And really, seriously, really, thank you to all of our servicemen and women and their families. I can't say it enough. I know we don't really get to show our appreciation enough to you. Because what we get to do, so many times we take for granted the freedoms that we have every day. You know, a lot of us today woke up in an air-conditioned home, got to go and start our car, and go where we wanted to go. We got to choose the church we got to go to. We got to choose everything, and it's because people are sacrificially giving. So thank you to our servicemen and women and their families for allowing us to do what we get to do. So thank you. So today, we're going to be wrapping up our Level Up series, if you will. It's been a fun few weeks. It's been an informative few weeks. It's been a few weeks where we've been diving into these songs of ascent, having a ton of fun. If you're not a gamer, this could have probably been the most boring series you've ever been in, but I'm sure at some point it's brought you some nostalgia. It's really brought you some welcome home because at some point you've either played these games or bought them for someone in your family. Am I right? Like, is anybody ever right? So today as we're continuing to our Level Up and we're finishing and wrapping it up, we're going to have some more songs of ascent, but what we're going to be doing is just be talking about how we can level up in our relationship and set up what we're going to be diving into over the next few weeks. If you haven't noticed, all of these series these past few weeks have just been a setup for the next one. And God willing, they will always continue to do that. So if you've got your Bible today, we're going to be in Psalm 126 is where we're going to start. If you don't have your Bible or you would like a Bible, we have them free for the asking. We have these for you to do what you want to do with them. Maybe you've never read the Bible and it's intimidating to you and you need some help. Please let us know. Nudge your neighbor. Go grab a free one. We would love to walk with you through that and help you as you walk through Scripture. Or maybe you like to do things digitally. If you do, I love that every week at the Vine Church, we partner with a Bible app and you can follow along with us on the Bible app. So I'm going to show you how to do that. For those who are listening and watching around the world right now, you're going to see how to do that as well. If you want to go ahead and download the Bible app from your favorite app store, you're going to go ahead and open that up. And when you do, you're going to click on the More tab. When you click on More, you're going to click on Events. Make sure you have your location services on, and you're going to see the Vine TV worship experience, and you're going to see the title of today's message, which we're going to hold off on for a second here in the room. But you're going to see the title of today's message. You're going to see all the scripture. You're going to find ways to be connected with throughout the week so that you can see our family and friends that want to welcome you home on Thursday nights or welcome you home throughout the week. You're going to see that. But more importantly, you're going to find a place where you can take notes and follow along with us. So if you got your Bible today, let's hop into Psalm 126. And just a refresher for those of us who are who haven't been able to follow and tune in every week or be with us, these songs of ascent were written for all of the Jewish festivals. There were three Jewish feast festivals. And what ended up happening is in all of the nation of Israel would have to go to Jerusalem, which was called the City of Peace. And no matter where you live in the world, to get to Jerusalem, it's uphill. So put it to you this way, like when grandpa says, like, I went to school uphill both ways, like to get to Jerusalem, if you were part of the Jewish festival, you literally went uphill both ways because you had to go uphill to get there. And what they would do is on the way there, kind of like as we're in camp season, they would have these songs that they would sing to remind their hearts what they were about to encounter. And those three feast festivals, if you ever want to write them down or learn about them, it's the Festival of Pentecost, the Festival of Passover, and the Festival of Tabernacles. And we've talked a little bit about more of those throughout our study here, but if you would like to Google it, as they say, if you want to look at that and learn more, or you can grab me after the service. I'd love to talk with you about it, or hit me up online. I'd love to talk with you about these three feast festivals because it's awesome. But we're going to be in this Song of Ascent here in Psalm 126, and it's going to set up what we're going to learn today as we wrap up our Level Up series. So if you got your Bible today, I want you to hang in here with me and remember, welcome home. Welcome home. As we talk about welcome home, just think about that as we go through Psalm 126. Starting in verse 1, it says this: "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nation, 'The Lord has done great things for them.'" The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Doesn't that feel like welcome home? Being filled with joy, like your dreams are coming true. Like, it's just something. As a matter of fact, we talk about that a little bit about this time of year too, right? The American dream, the dreams that we have when you have the fortunes restored to you. And it talks about how God was with all of Israel at this time. And if I'm completely honest with you, in our walk before we go to verse 4, I think that's where we can get stuck in our Christian walk thinking, is that it stops with verse 3. A lot of times when we hear about it, you know, I'm not a prosperity gospel guy. I believe that we are extremely blessed to overflow when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. But we can get stuck in verse 3 thinking that it's only that and we only have good times and we only have our dreams fulfilled, not God's dreams for us, which means so many times in our life, we can get stuck and maybe think, well, as the judge used to say, if you know, you know, I'm bringing it back. So just hang in here. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days, right? Right? If you know that, that's all we get stuck in. And we talk about how the good old days used to be what it was for. And we can get stuck in that. But you see, we move on to verse 4 and it says this: "Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev." Here's what I'm talking about we can see in our Christian walk where we may be struggling a little bit right now. "Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy." Only in Christ can we do that. "And those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them." Now, sheaves are bundles of wheat, okay? If you didn't grow up, you could have that, or bundles of anything. Maybe it's barley, whatever it is, for those of you who know, whatever that is. Maybe it's just sheaves of something. It's a harvest. When you sow with tears, you reap with joy. When you sow with tears, you get to be a part of a harvest that is being reaped. And so the reason we're starting with Psalm 126 today is I believe so many times this is where we are because we know that this psalm was more than likely written when the Israelites were in Babylonian captivity. So what ended up happening, just really quick backstory, is Israel went into the promised land. Joshua, which we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. If you don't know anything about me, you know I'm real excited. We're going to be talking about Joshua over these next few weeks. We start our brand new series next week. Joshua led Israel into the promised land. They're in a relationship with God, connected with God, and yet, like so many of us are with our relationship with God, we have the joy of this moment, this thing that we're so excited about, this connection, this love that we've never felt before, but then our fleshly desire and our sin starts taking back over a little bit, and it starts warring with us, right? And so what ends up happening is the nation of Israel turned from God and started worshiping false gods again, started worshiping idols, and they started turning their back on God, so God brought them into captivity again to remind them of his greatness and so they could say in their life that he moved in their life. And so when they wrote this psalm, this song of ascent, as all of the nation of Israel is going back to Jerusalem, they're being reminded of the time they were in captivity. They're being reminded of that. And so when we go there, I wonder if that's kind of where we are in our walk with Jesus is so many times, maybe we have a relationship with Jesus and we're like, why am I weeping? Like, why am I so downtrodden? Why is my soul grieved? Because I have a relationship with Jesus. I was told at church, if I just give my life to Jesus, it's going to all be perfect. And it's all going to be okay. And it's all going to work out. And it's like winning the lottery. It's like having a genie in the bottle. I can just ask him whatever I want. My dreams will come true. And my life goals will be fulfilled. If I just write it on a board and tell God to bless it, it's going to be okay, right? It's my plans. Like, that's what we're told a lot of times in church. And the thing is, what we try to say so completely truly here at the Vine Church is, yes, when you have Jesus in your life, you will have peace that passes understanding. You'll have joy. You'll have love. You'll have self-control. You'll have gentleness, faithfulness, goodness. You'll have all these fruit of the Spirit. But the thing is, it doesn't mean that your circumstances are going to change right away. And when this was written for Israel, their circumstance hadn't changed right away. They were weeping. And so to be reminded of God's promise in their life, this wraps up to say, hey, when you go out weeping, carrying seed to sow. So in other words, no matter how we feel, no matter how our circumstance is, if we're going bankrupt, if we've lost the job, or maybe there's something in our life that we had or loved or a relationship that's gone, no matter when we feel like weeping, we still can sow seeds of hope of the gospel. We can be a part of a harvest that is to come, one that impacts generations. And so today, that's kind of where I want to unpack for us is maybe that's where we are. Because David talks all the way through Psalms to his soul about it being grieved. You can look in these songs of ascent and he says, God, like my soul is grieved, but you alone are my salvation. We can see, and I believe it's Psalm 30, if you ever go back in there and look, when we talk about this that we share so many times when someone loses a loved one or walks through a tough time, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes when? In the morning, right? In the morning. So many times in our life, I wonder if we're stuck in this relationship with Jesus or in this relationship with God, if you've given your life to him and you confessed him as Lord of your life, where you're weeping. And I don't know about you, but when I'm crying, I'm pretty mad. I'm mad at God a lot of times if I'm crying. I mean, I think about a child when it says have childlike faith, and I'm probably like that terrible twos, where if I'm mad and angry, I'm crying. I think that's where Israel is here, but it didn't stop there. It said, just remember, joy comes in the morning. So maybe that's where you are in your walk, which leads us to this wonderful level up that we can talk about. If I could title anything today, I would title it Level Up Power Sneakers. Does anybody know Power Sneakers? Does anybody know this guy from Power Sneakers? Does anybody know that those boots that he is wearing were, I believe, what modeled after, was it Michael Jackson maybe? Something like that, I think. That was the, anyway, tough crowd. So, boots. The boots that Sonic the Hedgehog wore were called Power Sneakers. That has been verified and checked. I thought I had messed that up. I couldn't remember, but we had it, Power Sneakers. And I don't know if, did anybody play this game? Does anybody remember this game or the cartoon at all? Or maybe you played it right now. We can all agree that Sonic the Hedgehog made Sega Sega, right? Like, there was the Sega Genesis, and I think there was one before that, but Sega Dreamcast, how many had that console? No one. Awesome. Those were the only two that we knew of, right? Like, that was it. Sega didn't really have anything else, okay? Sonic is what made Sega Sega. So if you never played the game, basically what ends up happening is Sonic has to stop evil Dr. Robotnik. Is it Ivan or Igor? Does anybody know? Does anybody remember the first name? I know it starts with an I, but it's Dr. Robotnik, okay? What a cool name, Dr. Robotnik. In this day and age, he'd probably be selling iPhones. Let's be real. So he has to stop the evil Dr. Robotnik from taking over the world. And so what he's got to do to take over the world is this. The evil Dr. Robotnik has these chaos emeralds, right? I think it's like 5 or 6 chaos emeralds that he has. Those 6 chaos emeralds. And if he gets those, he can destroy the world, right? Like, he can do that crazy thing. And so what Sonic is doing is he's trying to collect these chaos emeralds, but in the process, he's got to collect all these gold rings to preserve his life. And anytime you bounce into something or you run into something, what happens to those rings? Anybody that's played, what happens? They fly all over the place, right? And you have to go collect them again so you can preserve your life. And in the process of getting those chaos emeralds and holding on to all these little gold rings, Sonic has also got to free up his friends, his little animal friends, who are robots. Could you imagine a robot cat out there? Does anybody want to take on a robot cat? I know I don't. That would just be crazy. Or a robot pigeon. Like, imagine what it could do to you. It would be crazy. Tough crowd. So it'd be crazy. So that's what Sonic is doing, is he's trying to let all of his friends loose as he goes to take on the evil Dr. Robotnik. And he's collecting all these gold rings, and he's trying to control the chaos with these chaos emeralds and trying to beat this and beat the game, I guess, if you will, as he beats Dr. Robotnik. And he goes on, and he has a couple little thing like Tails, if anybody remembers. You got something you could go on and add later on when it comes to the Sonic game. But the thing that I'm talking about and what I want to point out here is we started in Psalm 126 and how it's tying in to Sonic and our power sneakers is this. There are going to be times in our life where we're weeping. There are going to be times in our life where we have extreme joy. And we can look back at both and see that they're important markers in our life. They're important things in our life. But the thing is, the one thing many of us feel like in our life is like Sonic. Aren't we always running? Just running. Sonic was so fast, he was faster than the speed of sound. If you know, you know. That was good times, right? But the thing about this life is we're always running. And if you know anything about me, you can't tell it. But if you know anything about me, I'm always running. I'm running around. I'm running. I'm doing things. I'm trying to do things to make a difference. I'm running, 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 running. And I notice in my life where I'm just running, 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 running for nothing, it leads to weeping. But if I'm running, 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 running for purpose, I got so much joy in my life, it's not even funny. But the thing that's guaranteed in my life is I'm going to run, because what's going to end up happening is no matter what, the world is going to throw the brass and the gold ring at me to go try to catch, no matter what. The world is going to throw chaos at me, no matter what. The enemy that is trying to defeat me, that is Satan in all of our lives, is going to try to do everything it can to destroy us. And in my life, I'm going to have friends who need to be set free. The thing is, am I going to try to set them free, or am I going to point them to the one who's going to set them free? But no matter what in my life, I'm going to be running. And so as we walk through this thing in Sonic and we walk through this level up power sneakers, I just want to ask you, what are you running to in this world? What's the purpose of you running? Because we're all going to run. We're all going to be running. As a matter of fact, I know that we're all going to be running in the Christian faith, because the Apostle Paul even talks about running. Like, you don't know if you're a big fan of Paul. I'm hard-headed like Peter. If you know anything about me, I'm stubborn. People called me that. But I love Paul because Paul was a sports fan. Paul uses a lot of sports metaphors. You don't think about it, but if you look back at his letters to the church in the New Testament, he's a sports fan. And one of the things he talks about in the New Testament is this thing called running. So if you got your Bible today, let's flip over to 1 Corinthians 9. We're going to see how we run in the Christian faith. And this is going to be familiar for a lot of us. Familiar for a lot of us, something we've heard before. But I want you to think of being welcomed home and be thinking of my man Sonic up here as we got them power sneakers on, as we're running this race, as we're running in our life. Because I promise you, you're running. One way or another, you're running. So 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 says it this way. Excuse me. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run? Like, imagine you're at a race and the runner doesn't run. We call that Olympic event power walking, right? You know, like we have that. Like, we can do that. Like, imagine you're at a race and no one runs. That wouldn't be fun. That wouldn't be fulfilling your purpose, would you? I would probably be the one weeping at the starting line when I saw everybody blow past me. But you got to run in the race. All the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Before we move on, you see, the reason I know Paul's a sports fan is a lot of times he talks about gladiators, a lot of times he talks about the Roman soldier, a lot of times he talks about this race that we're going to be running. The race that he's alluding to at that time is what happens a lot of times in the modern day Olympics. We call it a marathon, or we call it a 100-yard dash now. That's a big difference. Hang in there with me, I know. But the modern day Olympics came from what Paul is talking about, and what would end up happening is the city would send their best runner to this race. How would you like to be that guy, the best runner at the race? I'm already disqualified. But they send their best runner to the games. They send their best runner to the race. And he runs this race, and the one who wins the race gets a crown of ivy. No, not poison ivy, ivy. So hang in there. I know that's where we are here in the South, but like, not poison ivy, but ivy. And what ends up happening is, in some instances, his taxes would be forgiven for his entire lifetime if he won. If not just for a year, his family's taxes would be forgiven for a year. And as long as that crown was fresh and he wore it around all over the place, he could get anything he wanted for free. So how many would be in that game? I mean, that'd be good. Just taxes. You don't have to pay taxes. Who's excited about that? God bless America, death and taxes, Benjamin Franklin. Come on, it's July 4th. We got to be pepped up. We got to be ready. So what would happen is in this time they would run the race, but the thing is, the whole point was to run the race. Do you think, like, if somebody said you get to have all the things you want for free for a day, as long as you've got this crown on, you just got to win the race, would you be willing to do that? Like, I'm telling you, there's no telling what place. I'd tear up the mall. I'd tear up a car lot. I'd go to a new construction house, and I'd just roll up in that thing, and I'd be getting houses and have an RV to go travel all over the place, right? Like, there's so many free things I would have, but the thing is, it only lasted as long as the crown was alive. Otherwise, you're just running around with dead ivy on your head, and we would accept you. but you'd probably be weird, right? Like, you'd just be considered a weird person, probably smell really bad, probably some crazy things. But that's what ends up happening. But the thing is, only one can win the race. Only one winner could do it. And so what would happen is these athletes would train all year long. They would train for this to get ready to go run this race. And one last thing that would happen in the city, they would celebrate this person so much in the city that they were from, they would poke a hole in the wall. What? Okay, that's really cool. They would poke a hole in the wall for that person's honor because they said that no enemy could defeat them because they had the champion inside their walls. Go figure. So if you go to a Rome and there's holes in the wall, just know maybe there was a city champion there. I would just say it was old. But just so you know, that's another way that they honored you in Rome. So that's really cool. So here's going on. Sorry, I'm getting sidetracked here. Verse 26. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. What Paul is saying right there is, as we're running this race, we're in this eternal battle against our flesh. 100%. The sins of our flesh, the sin in our life, we're at battle with that. And so just like an athlete training to run this race to win, we have to take the sins of our flesh, the battles of our flesh, and we have to put it into strict training. We have to go against it. We have to put it in a place to where we're more focused on God than we're more focused on our circumstance, or more focused on ourselves, or more focused on anything else that we're going through. We got to be focused on God and what He wants to bring us through. So as we're running these races and we're looking at this, I just want you to know that Paul is also telling them this, because what I love about Paul is he was thrown in jail. How would you like that, Pastor? Most churches would kick him out right now because he was thrown in jail. He didn't have a great story. He was accused of things he wouldn't have done, as he went and killed people. You would want that guy, apparently. People would get excited about that, you know. Like, oh yeah, what a story, right? Like, he was beaten up. He was thrown out of the church he grew up in because he experienced Jesus and encountered Jesus, but it was never easy for Paul. Everywhere he went seemed to be a struggle. Everywhere he went would bring a lot of us to tears. Everywhere he went would be a place to where he could say, God, how are you moving in me? But instead he says, no. I understand that the reason it's so hard is this: the race that I'm running. He's called me to run a race, and I want to win it. I want to run it so hard that I want to win it. And the way that I win it is deny myself and give all I am to Christ. And I want to put myself and my flesh in check. And I want to be in strict training. And what he means by that strict training is, so many times in our life, we got to have a relationship with Jesus to start with, but we've got to continue to make an effort to see that he's in front of us. Because he's always pursuing us. He's always around us. He's always wanting to be in a love relationship with us. But we got to have our eyes open to it. Otherwise, we just see all these things that are in our way. We see our little friends stuck in robots that we want to set free. We see all these gold rings that have our attention. We see all these chaos emeralds that are out there that we have to collect. Because if I remember right, in the Sonic game, if you don't collect them all, you lose the game, right? Like, you can collect 5 out of 6 or 4 out of 5, whatever it is, but if you don't collect them all, Robotnik still has one, and so the game is not won. So we treat life that way when we're running this race. Instead of running the race God's called us to run, we run aimlessly getting these golden rings. We run aimlessly after these chaos diamonds. We run aimlessly instead of going into strict training, knowing we got to get from point A to point B the best way possible. Paul goes on to say it this way in Philippians 3. If you want to get there in your Bible, you just keep turning right from 1 Corinthians to 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians. And we get to Philippians 3. He goes on to talk about this race again in Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. And he talks to us about how we can run the race. Not that I have already obtained all this, or I've already arrived at my goal, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. If you got your Bible today, anywhere you're at, this next part, I want you to circle it. I want you to highlight it. I want you to come back to it, and I want you to see it later as you're spending time with Jesus. But one thing. One thing. Did you know that this race that God's called you to run, it's always just one thing he's calling you to? We want it to be something that's just so huge and so big that we miss out that it's one thing. As I remember when Jesus was walking and Jesus was teaching and Jesus was on this earth, he said one thing to the rich young ruler, right? There's one thing. Hey, you want to follow me? There's one thing you got to do. Sell all your possessions and come follow me. When he was going and he was healing the blind people, when he was healing a blind man, he went to him and said, the one thing that gave you sight was your faith. In the Old Testament, God called Abraham the one thing. He said, hey, follow me, and I will bring you to a place that I will give to your people as an inheritance, and I will make you father of many nations, but the one thing you got to do is have faith in me. One thing. So the reason I'm telling you to go back there is so many of us in our life are trying to think seven steps ahead that we miss out on the one thing that God's calling us to. Pay close attention in your Bible. Pay close attention in your life and your walk with Christ to the one thing he's calling you to. Because the one thing will open up to the next one thing, which will be farther and better than your dreams, that's talked about in Psalm 126, more than better than any of your fortunes that you think you've lost, so much so. When you are open to the one thing, you'll get to be of something that's greater, be a part of something that's greater than you could ask or imagine. But you just got to pay attention to the one thing. The one thing. Paul says, the one thing I do is this, and this is how we're going to run this race today. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So this race that Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 9 and Philippians 3 is we're running a race, not to run aimlessly, not something that's going to happen in one day. It's a lifetime that we're running this race of endurance. This one thing we're called to do, this one next step God's called us to take, will allow us to take hold of the prize to win the race. We're going to talk about what the prize means in a minute, but don't you want to win the prize? I know I do. I'm too competitive not to. I would try to trip you to win the prize. That's what's wrong with me. I'm sorry. That's just how I roll. It's terrible. It's the sinfulness in me. So I'm like a boxer punching aimlessly that Paul talks about. But seriously, so many times in our life, we've got to see what that one thing is, because that one thing will lead to the prize. The prize of a life that has said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Whenever it is, he calls us home. So today, how do we run this race? What are we going to do? This is going to be mind-blowing and mind-altering. Are you ready? And it's going to be so deep. I'm just kidding. Paul nails it right here, for real. Anything you hear that's good today is all Christ Jesus. Anything that's not is me. I'm sorry. So I'm getting out of the way and let Jesus do his thing. So the first way we run this race is we forget what is behind. We forget what is behind. Like Paul lays it out there. It says, the one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Have you ever ran a race like this? How far are you going to go? How far are you going to go if you're looking backwards? I mean, I can barely do it. I'm working on my training, I guess. I could barely do it. If you look backwards, how far forward can you go? Can you go in a straight line very well? Can you do it very fast? If you were in those city games, could you win that Olympic game if you were running while looking back? Yes, so many times in our life, in our Christian life, don't we do that? We look back at our past and we think about the mistake that we made last week. We think about the mistakes we made time and time again, and we think that we're defined by our past. We think that our best days are behind us, like the judge said, like, tell me about the good old days. Like Psalm 126 started and said, restore our fortunes. We think our best days are past us. Or we think of this terrible mistake that we made, and we think that there's no way that we could ever live out God's purpose or calling in our life. We think we can't because we're so stuck on the past. And if we really want to run this race to win, we've got to forget that. We can't be chained by it. Because so many times in our life, what we can do is we think that our past has to go with us everywhere we go, and it's the womp-womp behind us that just holds us back and just doesn't let us do anything. But in Christ Jesus, when we've given our life to him, we go out of the starting block of this race. Paul talks later on about this race. I throw off everything that hinders me, all the sin, all the things of my flesh that could make me run this race slower. I throw it off of me so that I could run as fast as I possibly can. So imagine in that race if you had ankle weights on and the guy beside you is a sprinter and like he knows what he's doing and like he's going to win this race and he's in this city and it's me with ankle weights on and I've got like a fanny pack that's way down. Sorry, I just had to bring that in. A fanny pack or I've got weights that are on me and I'm trying to run that race. Odds are I'm not going to win it, am I? As a matter of fact, I might win it. But I'm certainly not going to be happy at the end of it, am I? Because of all the effort and energy I put into hanging on to something that I was supposed to let go of so long ago. So maybe in your walk, you're stuck in this season of weeping. I want to ask you, have you ever been let go from your past? Have you ever just trusted Jesus to let your past be your past? Let it be in your past. Don't let it define you. Let it be something that's back there, that's something that you don't go back to, something you don't look back to, unless it's something you can learn from. Like, I go back to my past a lot to say, man, I learned a lot from that. I don't go back to my past to relive it, because quite frankly, I don't want to relive my past. I want to live in a life going forward. Matt, think of it this way. In Sonic, did you ever want to go backwards? You always wanted to go forward. You wanted to win the game, to win the race. You always wanted to go forward. That game was a moving thing to keep you going forward constantly. So today, maybe you're running this race and you're stuck at the starting block because you hadn't forgot what's in your past. Let's lay that down today. Let's forget what's in our past. Let's run to win the race because our past isn't defining us. And we're saying, hey, yes, I messed up. Yes, I made a mistake, but by God's grace alone, I've been set free from it because I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and that freedom will let me run this race not only faster, better, but in a way that can win it. Forget what is behind. Number two, strain toward what is ahead. Strain toward what is ahead. Paul said, the one thing I do, I forget what is behind and I strain toward what is ahead. So when he says strain, it says he's straining. He's not weighed down by the weight of his past, but he's still straining. He's still trying to push himself to the limits. He's still trying to do everything he can. As a matter of fact, what he's saying is, I have extreme focus when I strain on one thing. The one thing I do, I strain ahead. Have you ever seen an athlete just like perform really well at a sport? Like I'm talking like a Hall of Fame athlete. They're just good. Have you ever just looked at their life? Like we have these now, we have these biographies and we can see the great things they do. What I think it's 10,000 hours to master something is what it's called. It's about 10,000 hours to master something. It takes 10,000 hours for you to be an expert and master something. So when we see these great athletes, do you know that they only focus on one thing? There are very few athletes, as a matter of fact, there are very few people that can say they get a high level of success in life or in sports, if they try to do more than one thing. When I say Michael Jordan, what do you think of? Basketball, Hall of Fame, or Space Jam, which is basketball, right? You think of basketball. We don't think of his baseball career, where he struck out. I think he struck out more than he hit, but he tried it in that year of retirement. Then he came back and did, what, won three straight right after that. I mean, it is what it is. But he was great at one thing. He was great at basketball. There are very few people. When I was growing up, I remember there were two athletes that were two sport athletes, Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders. Those were the two people that I remember that could play two sports. And Charlie Ward, Florida State, and I'm just saying. But he only played basketball. He only played in the NBA. He never played in the NFL. But Deion Sanders played baseball. I remember because I was a Braves fan. He played for the Braves and the Falcons. And then he went all over the place and won Super Bowls with the 49ers and Cowboys, all that good stuff. But then Bo Jackson had a hip injury, right? Remember, his hip dysplasia is what stopped him from being able to do both sports because he couldn't focus on one thing. Now you have a few folks who can. But the athletes that are extremely successful, that have long-term careers, that have longevity in the race of life, in the race of what they do, are really good at one thing. That one thing we talked about last week. God's given you gifts so that you can excel in the one thing he created you for. The thing is, so many times in your life, the world's going to keep throwing those brass and gold rings at you. that you think you've got to catch all those brass rings. You got to catch the brass ring of that next car, or the brass ring of that next house, or the brass ring of this title, this status, the brass ring of breaking through the ceiling of X amount of dollars or a bank account, the brass ring of a relationship, the brass ring of whatever it is that life can throw at you. We can get stuck because we've lost our focus on the one thing, and that is the race that God's created us to run. I know in my life I do. I couldn't play basketball like that. I can't on the games. Y'all can tear it up on the games. NBA Heat, back in the day, I'm just saying, if you know, you know. I can do it in the games, but in real life, I'm not good at that one thing. My one thing is football. I can give you football inside and out. Love football, could walk in and out. And not soccer, not what the world calls football, American football, sorry. So I'm good at football. So that's the one thing. So I want you to know, be focused on your one thing, because here's what will happen if you don't and you don't strain ahead. Have you ever, do you remember, like, does anybody remember when Garmin came out or like GPS came out? I am that old, I know. Now we have it on our phone, right? Do you remember how crazy it was sometimes to put something in there? Like, the biggest fear was what? It would drive you off a cliff or something, right? So have you ever just been at your life and you're trying to point in one direction, and then all of a sudden you see you were going the wrong way all along because your focus was on the wrong thing? As a matter of fact, I think that's sometimes how I've been in my life with Jesus, and maybe that's where yours is we can be so focused on the wrong thing that we can go a long way in the wrong direction, if you will, in our life. Relationships, I can tell you, I went a long way in the wrong direction in my life. I've been in and out of those. I can tell you, chasing a career over what God created me to do, I went a long way in the wrong direction. Wouldn't change it. Can't change it. Thankful that I can't. Learned a lot from it. But so many times in our life, that's where we can be if we don't focus on the one thing God's created us for and straining toward what is ahead. I say all this to say, how can you be knowing what this one thing is? Well, Jesus said it quite simply this way. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that one thing, you're going to live a life that's well lived. And that, my friend, is the hardest thing in the world to do. I can love God with all my heart, mind, and soul. But now my neighbor, my neighbor. Especially when them fireworks are going off at like 12 in the morning, right? My neighbor. Or their poor dogs don't understand. Because, dogs don't get fire. I've heard of next door app stuff. I'm sorry if that's you and you're complaining about your dogs. I'm sorry. I understand. But the fireworks going off is not happy for everyone, right? Like, it's just a crazy thing. But we got to love our neighbor as ourselves. As a matter of fact, John the Baptist says it this way as well. To live out this one thing, when he baptized Jesus, he said this for this training. He must increase and I must decrease. So if you want to live out that one thing, let Jesus increase in your life and your flesh decrease in your life, and you'll see straining toward what's ahead is going to lead you to a prize that's better than you could ever ask or imagine. Last but not least, while I'm beating this point home about one thing, don't get 12 steps ahead of Jesus and expect him to bless your 12 steps when he's just called you to do one step at a time. He's going to get there. And I promise you, if you trust him, that as you take those next steps, it will be better than you could ever ask or imagine. I mean, I'm living proof, and I'm living it right now, that what he called me to is better than I could ever ask or imagine. So much better than I could ever ask or imagine. But the thing is, I just had to keep following him step by step. Now, does that mean that I don't want to try to get 15 steps ahead of him? You know? Yeah, absolutely. I want to get 20 steps ahead of him. And I want to tell him, all right, Jesus, here we go. Here's my plans. Here's my dreams. Restore my fortunes. And I'm doing all these things. And he's saying, Tyler, time out. You're chasing the gold rings, man. Like, just focus on the one thing I'm calling you to do. Take that next step, one step at a time. And watch and be a part of this life I've called you to live. And here's how you can do it the best. Love God and love others. Do everything you can to do that. And you're going to run the race well. And so wherever you are in your life, I just want to ask you, hey, are you trying to chase your results or God's results in your life? Psalm 126 shows us when we chase our results, so many times we're just left with tears. Doesn't mean we won't cry. Doesn't mean we won't weep when we follow Jesus. It just means that when we chase our results, we're just living for the next race. When life is one race, one step at a time. But if you're living for God's results, you'll see literally that the tears you cry are watering the seeds of hope for a harvest that is to come. Would you trust that? David talks about it, God bottling every tear that we have. Like, every tear you cry, God counts. Every tear you cry is watering the soul and the seeds of hope that are being planted across the world for a harvest that's even greater than we could ask or imagine. Jesus said it so much, he said to his disciples, would you look up and see the fields are white with harvest, but the laborers are few? Go get more laborers. So what I'm trying to tell you in your life is, even though you're weeping for a night, the joy will come in the morning, but you just got to trust God, even with your tears, that the one thing he's called you to is going to be greater than you could ask or imagine. You got to strain toward what is ahead. Last but not least, we got to press on. We got to press on. Paul says, the one thing that I do, I forget what's behind, I strain toward what's ahead, and I press on. Now, what's crazy here is the words that Paul is using here is a Greek word, and the Greek word is dioko. Say that with me one more time. One, two, three, dioko. Dioko. It's a cool word. It sounds like you're ordering yogurt. I don't know why. Or you're at a Japanese or a Miyoko, Miyabi's, Miyoko's. I don't know why. I think of those things. So, sorry, they don't pay for endorsements if they're on, whatever that is. But dioko, dioko. Dioko is a Greek word that literally means this, pursuit. I press on. I have a pursuit. I press on toward the prize. I press on. Do you know what it really means also in Greek? Not just pursuit, but persecute. So, whoa, hang on now, time out. Persecute? You mean Paul's saying to persecute to get the prize? Well, he goes on earlier in Philippians 3, you can read it later, but he talks about this, that he's saying, like, remember how Paul's story came along? What is it that Paul did before he became Paul? He was Saul, and he did what to the church? He persecutes the church. He presses the church. Paul says, hey, what I'm doing is the same pursuit that I persecuted the church is the same pursuit that I run this race and I press on toward the goal that God's called me to. I press on to live this life. I press on. I actually persecute myself so that I can be more of what God's called to be. I put myself, as he says earlier, we talked about it, I'm a slave. My body is a slave to me. I put my fleshly desires down and I put all of it into Jesus. So we press on to do that. So I'm just going to ask you today, what are you pressing on? Are you using that energy? Are you using the same energy that you might have used before Jesus to use to do things through that Jesus wants to do through you? That are you to do things in this life, in this race that he's called you to run? Do you use that same energy? Do you use that dioko? Do you use that pursuit? Because the thing is, if you've ever seen these guys, so the Olympics come up sooner than later. I don't remember. Forgive me. I should know these things. Have you ever seen most of the time or horse racing even? There's usually a front horse that they call a pace horse. There's usually someone that runs the pace. And believe it or not, most of the time they don't win the race. The one who's out front pacing. They're pacing everyone else and eventually somebody makes a move at the end, right? And they'll stretch out, like I'm pulling a hammy just thinking about it. Like they'll stretch out at the end and do their thing, but somewhere along the way, there's usually someone that's actually just dead weight that is somebody that somebody's pursuing, their pace. So I'm just going to ask you, what are you pursuing? Are you pursuing you or are you pursuing God? Are you pressing on to what he's called you to do to get the prize? Because the prize of running this race, really, I believe is two things. We will know the purpose of why God created us. Every next step I take and God reveals himself more to me, he reveals even more of what he created me to do. Every next step I take, as he reveals himself more to me, I get to see things through his eyes that I couldn't see through my own. And so he reveals to me the purpose that he created me for. And the other thing that I get to do as I follow these steps, this prize, is I get to experience the joy of following him to live a well-done life. I get to experience that joy. So the prize is being focused on doing what he's created me to do. And I also get to experience the joy of following him. And in that, I get to be a part of some amazing stories and some amazing people's lives. Matter of fact, I get to be around hungry people all the time. Because we eat when you're with me. If you couldn't tell, we eat. Ever been with hungry people? Hungry people are great. Hungry people are a little bit angry. They're on the urge of wanting something more, like there's just something. They see the things out in front of them. You see, I only not only want people who love eating around me that are hungry, even when I don't, sorry, working on it, y'all. I want hungry people for the Lord around me. And the more I take a next step and I follow that one thing and I forget what's behind and I strain ahead to what he's called me to do and I press on to the goal he's created me to run in this prize that he's called me to take, I get to be a part of some people who are just as hungry for Jesus as I am, just as hungry to know him even more. And believe it or not, they press me. They allow me to pursue Jesus the way that they are. They push me. They make me better. And so the prize that we're running toward is knowing that we were created with a purpose and experiencing the joy that's talked about at the end of Psalm 126, the joy that comes in the morning, because that's what we want. And have you ever just had extreme joy? Like, I've heard of it this way. So obviously I can't have kids. Obviously I'm a man. I can't have kids. I don't care what science says. I can't. I cannot. It's not physically possible for me to have children. But what ends up happening is when that little baby's born, and that pain, I can't imagine what you go through in pain. I mean, break my hand, whatever it is, I could never imagine what a woman goes through the pain. But if you see the joy on her face when she holds that baby in her arms, it's just like, it's just all that joy. What I'm getting at is when that baby's held in your arms, it's better than you dreamed, wasn't it? Isn't it so much better? As we celebrate mothers the other week, and I got to hear mothers' stories and got to live that out, like that little baby just brings so much joy. That blessing brings so much joy. And so what I'm getting at is, even though you're going to walk through pain in your life, even though you have a dream of your life, what it should be, I want you to know that the joy that God wants to give you in following him step by step is going to be so much better than your dreams. It's going to be so much more worth it. You just got to press on. You got to focus on that one thing. And so inside of this, before we start going on as we talk about leveling up again with our power sneakers, something Jesus smacked me in the face with. So hear me, I'm not here to judge you. I say this a lot, so hang in here with me. This isn't judgment. This is just me passing on what Jesus has been teaching me through this. Jesus wrote this down, or I wrote this down. It says, Tyler, I wonder if you put as much detail into being all created you, God created you to be, as you did on social media, as you did on your golf swing, as you did on your status in life, as you did on your bank account, as you did on the chaos of this world, as you did on playing that or doing that, would you be better today than yesterday? In other words, Jesus is saying, if you put as much energy into pursuing him as you did to the things of this world, I wonder if you would be better today than yesterday. I wonder if the world around you would be better than yesterday. Now, I'm not here to convict you. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to love you. So that's God's job and the Holy Spirit's job. But I'm telling you, if that struck a nerve today, ask Jesus what he's trying to teach you in that. Because so many times in our life, we care about the reaching professional stardom, or we care about our name in shining lights, or we care about what that picture looks like on social media, how many followers we get, how many likes, how many shares, how many all these things we get. And that's not the race he's called us to run. He just called us to love him and love others. So easy, but yet so hard. So today, I just want to ask you, maybe that's you, and let's walk through this together. If it is you, I'm going to walk through it with you. I'm going to walk with you through it because I have to deal with it myself. Because I want to tell you what, when I lay my head down at night, I want to know that I left those around me feeling better and knowing Jesus better today than they did the day before. And when I wake up tomorrow, I want to do the same thing. I want them to know him and experience him better that day through me than they did the day before. And if I'm focused on social media, if I'm focused on catching all these gold rings like poor Sonic did and worried about that one thing in life hitting me and those gold rings going all over the place and I think, crap, I got to start all over again. Now I got to get all these things and blah, 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 blah. Got to get all these things. And then I got my little robot cat over there that I got to free and set free. My little friend I got to set free. And then I come up on the Chaos Emerald. Oh, goodness. I can control the world's chaos. I can control chaos in my life. That one step, you know, that little teaser they give you on those little sponsored ads, that little one step they give you that say, hey, sign up for the training. You got five more steps of this to control the chaos in your life and have the life of your dreams, right? That thing. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, man, that's it. Then I run into the next obstacle, and my rings go all over the place, and I'm trying to chase that chaos emerald, and I see that evil is beating me day after day after day after day, and I have an enemy that I was never meant to defeat that I'm chasing. So what I want to ask you today is, where are you at with that? Have you ever given your life to Jesus? Because here's the thing. If you've given your life to Jesus, we're told that we get to wear the gospel, the shoes of the gospel of peace. We put on the full armor of God. Our power sneakers are the gospel in our life. Our power shoes, our shoes that we run the race with, is the gospel of peace, the gospel of hope that we have in our life, which means we can go into anyone's life where there's extreme joy, or we can go into anyone's life where there's extreme mourning, and we can point them to Jesus no matter what. If they're chasing the rings and the gold rings of this world, we can show them Jesus like never before. If they're trying to control the chaos in this world, or they're being ruled by it, we can show them Jesus like never before. If we have friends who are trying to be set free, here's the thing I want to get home with you today. If you have a relationship with Jesus that might set you free, it's not your job to save them. And the thing that I struggled with most in my Christian life was that right there. I thought I had to save them. It was my job to, it's just my job to show them Jesus and love them through it. Jesus will save them when they're ready to surrender. So maybe that's you today, and you're trying to be like Sonic, trying to set all your friends free. It was never your job to set them free. It's just your job to love them. And if they look like little robots, that's okay. We'll love the little robots and little droids too. Whatever they are, we're going to love them. But the thing is, the one thing I want you to get today, as you wear the gospel shoes of peace in your life, is the reason you can have peace in your life is because Jesus has already beat the enemy. Stop running the race to defeat Dr. Robotnik. He's already been beat. Satan has already been defeated. Death, the grave, and sin were defeated when Jesus went to the cross and rose again so that we could have the Holy Spirit living inside of us to run this race we get to run. So today, maybe that's where you are. I want you to ask, maybe where's your weeping coming from? Is it coming because of your dreams, or is it becoming because of what God's called you to do? Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Sometimes God's dreams will make us strain ahead, will press us, will make us be in a place where we have to forget what's behind. But the thing is, we're going to have peace in it, even if I'm crying, even if I'm laughing. But if it's because of me that I'm experiencing it, maybe God's reminding you that right now, if you have a relationship with Jesus, that you're your own worst enemy in this race. Maybe you're trying to collect everything. And so today, what I want you to know, maybe in him, let go of your past. Maybe in him, don't worry about what status of this world is. Maybe in him, stop trying to save your friends instead of pointing them to the one thing that can save them. Maybe you're trying to control the chaos of your world. Stop. It's going to have a purpose. The storms always had purpose in the Bible. The storm in your life has a purpose. Just trust Jesus through it. And stop trying to beat the enemy, because you've already defeated him through Christ. So today in your walk and in the race you're called to run, I want you to know this Christian life of endurance that we're called to run and live isn't one that's a sprint. As a matter of fact, I don't even say it's a marathon. It's an ultra marathon. It's endurance, doing one thing over and over and over and over and over again, more than 10,000 hours worth. And that one thing is loving God and loving others. If you really want to live your life and live it to the full, do that. And maybe for everyone else, you're listening, you've never had a relationship with him, and you can't figure out why that next car or that next the next house or the next clothes or shoes or whatever it is in your life that you're chasing doesn't bring you happiness. It always brings you crashing down morning. Maybe you've got new friends. You ditched your old friends because they were a bunch of robots anyway. So you ditched your old friends. They were a bunch of yes men. You didn't like them, so you ditched them. You've got new friends, and those didn't bring you joy, and you can't figure out, and so it's crashed you down. Maybe you finally found a way to control the chaos in your life, and so you've got a great yoga program, or you've got a great breathing program, but yet all of a sudden you realize it's empty. It doesn't feel like it has meaning, and you just feel like you're beat down by an enemy constantly in your life, and you can't figure out what it's going to take to be set free. And I want to tell you, Jesus didn't die. Just like I shared for those of us who have a relationship with him, Jesus didn't step down to this earth, live a life we couldn't live, die a death we deserve on the cross, and rise again on the third day so that we could live this life running around aimlessly, being like a boxer punching the wind so that we could live this life defeated, beat up, trying to collect things in this world. Because the things that we collect in this world will die with us, except the relationships that we have that point to eternity with him. That's it. It's the only thing we can carry to heaven. So maybe you've never given your life to him and you can't really experience true freedom, the freedom that we celebrate in America, because you've never really seen freedom. You've never really heard of freedom. You've never really experienced what freedom from your past can look like, what freedom and walking in victory can look like. And it can only come through Jesus. And so the one thing that you can do today is have faith. The one thing that you can do today is have faith, because the thing that all of us have in common is all of us were born into sin. All of us have this innate desire in us to collect gold rings. All of us have this innate desire in us to control the chaos in our life. All of us have this innate desire inside of us, unless you're a sociopath, to be a good person. We want to be a good person. We want to be known as good people. But here's the thing. We can never do it on our own. And God loving us enough, knowing that we can never do it on our own because of sin in our life, is there wasn't enough gold rings to collect. There wasn't enough chaos emeralds to have it together. There wasn't enough setting our friends free and being a good person enough in the world. We could never do it. He loved us enough that he made a way. And he sent his son to live the life that not only collected all the gold rings, collected all the chaos, has a way to set everybody free, but defeated the enemy in our life. But then he didn't stay dead. He said, here's the thing. I didn't just die for you to experience freedom. I died for you to live in freedom. So that way you don't have to be held back from your sin. You don't have to pay the penalty of death in your life. I've already done it. And so today, if you want to give your life to the Lord, if you want to experience freedom like never before, I just want to ask you, have you ever made that choice? Because another song of ascent says it this way. Psalm 130 says it this way. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? None of us could collect enough gold rings to make up for the sin in our life. But with you, there is forgiveness so that we can with reverence serve you. It goes on to say in verse 7, Israel. Well, Israel, I'm just going to say put your name in there. Instead of Israel, put your name in there. Put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him isn't partial, isn't halfway, isn't four or five chaos diamonds, isn't three or four gold rings, isn't just a few friends being set free. No, no, no. For with the Lord is full redemption. Only in the Lord. He himself will redeem whatever your name is and my name. It says Israel, put your name there. From all their sins. The only way you can have freedom to let go of your past, to press forward to be all that he created you to be, and to strain ahead and live a life that makes a difference, that has a purpose, that will impact eternity, is if you give your life to Jesus. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to open the door for that opportunity. Maybe you're running a race right now that's, maybe you're running a race right now that's just one that you realize it's all you. It's not the Lord. It's not a race that you've had experienced freedom in. It's not a race where you can say that you're making a difference. You can say that you've tried to collect all the gold rings. You're trying to control the chaos in your life. You're trying to be the good person that sets your friends free and be their salvation. You're trying to be these things. And you're trying to defeat an enemy that you were never created to defeat. Maybe that's you today. And I want to open the door for you to be able to respond. See, we're about to say this prayer, and it's not even going to be the words of this prayer that gives you a relationship with Jesus. It's the faith in this prayer that he is who he says he is. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you lived the life that I couldn't live, died the death I deserve on the cross, but love me enough not to stay dead, but rose again so that I may have life. Come take over my life. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. And wherever you are, if you're watching around the world or you're in this house today, I'm going to ask you on the count of three to respond if you can say for the first time that you have a relationship with Jesus. One, two, three. That's the first time you've prayed that prayer with faith. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to respond. You're going to see a hand that you can respond to online. If you're watching on Facebook, you can comment. If you're watching on YouTube or listening by podcast, you can reach out to us at prayer@thevine.tv or give us a call at 864-580-6698. We have people who want to celebrate with you and welcome you home to this life, this race that we get to run, this race where we can have peace like never before, no matter what season we've been in. Whoever you are and wherever you are, there is freedom to be had. And it's more than just American freedom. It's freedom to be exactly who you were created to be in Christ. So we have people that want you to, that want to walk with you step by step through that, that want to love you through that and love you through this walk that he's called. And we will have people here who just want to celebrate with you that it is finally well with your soul. No more being downtrodden, no more being downcast, no more being beat up by your past, no more just trying to do your thing, no more seeing things around you crash and burn. No more of that. Just freedom, just peace, like never before. For everyone else here, I'm about to pray, and I'm just going to say, if you got nothing else from today, if you got nothing else from what was talked about today, I want you to be able to leave here better than you walked in, because you can say with meaning, it is well with my soul. You can say that I have peace, that I have freedom, that I'm living in the one thing God's called me to live in, not in the things of this world, but in him. I want you to be able to say that today. So if you can, I want you to worship like it is well with your soul. I want you to worship through the weeping. I want you to know that joy comes in the morning. I want you to know that those tears that you cry in this season are watering the seeds of a harvest to come in the next season you're stepping into, and the season for eternity to come. I want you to be able to say it. And so in this moment, I want you just to lift it all up to the Lord. So Jesus, as we get ready to worship here, thank you for allowing it to be well with our soul. Thank you for allowing us just to be able to live this life. Thank you for allowing us to have freedom. Jesus, we could never earn it. We don't deserve any of this. We don't deserve to be able to be here today, but you loved us enough that you made a way. So when we're on this race that we're running, let us not be like Sonic trying to collect all the gold rings. Let us not be trying to collect the chaos and control the chaos in our life. And let us not just be trying to be a good person. Let us be the person you created us to be. So as we worship Jesus, let us say with certainty and faith that it is well with our soul. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray.
Y'all stand and sing with me. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glory. My sin not in part, but the whole. the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll.
Sing it out.
The trump shall resound, and the so it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It's well with my soul. It's well with my soul. It's well with my soul. Dwell in my soul.
All right, as we wrap up today, let's lock it up and pray together today. as we get to pray together and I'm just going to pray again for us that we continue to run the race God's called us to run, and that, man, we just not be afraid to show Jesus to the world no matter what. I know that's hard, and the way that we do that is how we love. And so today as we go out, I'm going to pray that they see love of Jesus like never before in us, that everyone does, and that we would experience his love like never before. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this time together. As always, Jesus, you told us in this world we would have trouble, but to have faith, you've overcome the world. So Jesus, as we run this race you've marked out for us, as we run this race that you've called us to run, let us not have faith in ourselves, but let us have faith in you. Let us take the step you've called us to take. Let us put one foot in front of the other. Let others see you like never before so that they can see it's not the things of this world that affects us, but that it's you, Jesus. Let us be defined by you. Let us not be defined by our past. Lord, let us not try to step back, but let us continue to step forward. Let us strain ahead. Let us press on. And Jesus, in all that we do, let others see you in us. As we come back here in 2 weeks, Jesus, let us be refreshed. Let us be recharged. Let us be able to share you in a brand new way because we've experienced your love like never before. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Check us out online next week for our EFAM service as we crank up our brand new series, Rumble Strip, as we walk through the book of Joshua. Have a happy July 4th. We'll see you next week.